Welcome to I Shouldn't Have Had Kids, a comedy parenting podcast hosted by two working moms of three kids who are somehow surviving life with boys.
You can download this podcast on iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play Music. Be sure to rate, subscribe, and review. Share your thoughts about the show. The parental sanity you save may be your own, or possibly my mother's.
And he stood up, and he like hit his chest, and he said to us, "Get wrecked, bozos!"
And we were like, dying.
What? Like, he just shook with his pride for getting a second pound.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
I'm just kidding. I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm here. We're starting earlier than we normally do.
I know. I'm jazzed.
Well, yeah, jazzed. What? That's a basketball team.
Oh, it is.
Isn't it the Oakland Jazz?
Utah.
Utah, Oakland. Mm-hmm. There's some jazzercisers out there somewhere.
I know. You'd think it'd be like the New Orleans Jazz, but it's not. It's the Utah Jazz. I guess there's a lot of
jazz.
There's a lot
in
of
Utah
and jazz. No.
That is so weird. Why would it not be like the Utah Bees or something?
The Utah Mormons?
The Utah Beehives. The Utah Behave Yourself. Or God will come after you. I don't know. I'm just not making any
Utah
sense here.
Utah Weak Drinks.
Oh, you know what?
What?
This is I Shouldn't Have Had Kids.
It's a podcast.
Yes, it is. It's a podcast about parental sanity. We podcast for parental sanity.
Yours and ours.
mostly ours, I think.
Yeah.
You, we just try to entertain.
This is our telehealth.
It is our telehealth. We are week 34 in telehealth. We started this when there was no pandemic. We actually thought it was just going to be this lighthearted little thing that was happening, and
which,
boom.
The pandemic or our show?
The podcast.
Oh.
Never thought the pandemic was going to be lighthearted. Yeah.
Episode 34.
34, ladies and gentlemen. And this evening on the old podcast, we're coming to you from the Bombcast studio.
With our trusty steed by our side, Ruby the Dogcaster.
I think a steed is a horse.
It is. But she's trusty.
Is her tail wagging? It's wagging.
Oh,
because
she's up.
I don't say her name and don't say T-R-E-A-T's. Come on now.
She knows how to look at her.
She knows how to spell. She's licking her chops. We have three boys.
We do. We have three boys. Tigger, Lola, and Shy Guy.
We call them that because we'd like to protect their anonymity as much as possible because we share a lot of their stories. And before you get your proverbial panties in a twist, I just want to let you know.
A little twist-a-roo.
Yeah, that they have given us their permission.
Yeah, they know we're podcasting.
They do. And they
used to listen.
Well, Shy Guy never listened.
No, no.
Somebody told him what the first episode had in it, and he was like, I'm out.
Yep, hard pass.
Lola was our most committed, I think, listener, who mm-hmm. listened forever until he got real busy with school. And I'm like, are you kidding me with that?
Yeah.
I mean, Your education takes a priority over our podcast?
I think he quit about halfway.
Yeah, and so. Who knows with Tigger.
He's hit or miss.
He is.
We'll get random texts where he says, by the way, you were wrong about this.
We'll get corrections.
We don't think so.
That's when we slap our hand against our forehead and mutter to ourselves, I shouldn't have had kids. You know, you call me one more time, kid, and try to correct your mother. And I will reach through the phone lines.
And I should mention that you're Bonnie.
Oh, yes. And I will say that you are Ellen.
And we're married.
My lovely wife.
Yeah.
Yes. For many years
and
now.
And we do love being parents. So again, take those panties and unclench them because this is a comedy podcast.
Does that mean you get your jaw in a twist if you clench your panties?
If you like are really twisting your panties, they're going to sound like this.
That's why she has no teeth left, just little nubs in her mouth from gritting her teeth like that.
I have good teeth.
You do have good teeth.
Yeah.
You have the longest front teeth I've ever seen in my life.
I'm going to show you a picture of someone I know with longer teeth right when we're done here.
Who is it?
Well, I'm not going to say.
Dracula? No,
they might be listening and they'll be like, oh, I'm the friend with long teeth. Now you'll all wonder.
You know who you are.
No, yeah, Dracula definitely has some long chompers.
Yeah, chompers, yeah. Huh?
It's ridiculous.
Speaking of teeth, the three boys that we have.
Yeah, what about them?
No segue at all. But they have...
They have teeth.
They do have teeth, and they are absolutely responsible for the fact that we have waded the treacherous waters, of parenting.
That's all, folks.
On our own behalf and just for you. So we bring you our experience. We bring you our insight. We do not, however, bring you any expertise
whatsoever. Just like people say, take it with a grain of salt. Don't even take it with a grain of salt. What's smaller than salt?
No, not a grain of salt. You need a horse's salt lick. It must be a giant grain of salt.
Well,
yeah.
So never mind on that bullshit comment that I just made.
Don't take us seriously, but there occasionally, I will say occasionally, after so many years of parenting, we do have one or two parenting hacks that we can share with you.
Sure. And we swear a lot.
Yeah. And just so you know, if you listen and you're like, wow, they swear a lot, I do the editing and I take out a lot of Ellen's swears.
You have no idea. Especially if it's late at night and there's half a bottle gone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, fuck everything.
That's right, especially in a pandemic. Except for me and the kids. You really will always love us.
So let's talk about these kids.
Okay.
They are 22, 19, and 16.
Okay, shit list this week is full of yumminess. First off, topping the list is Shy Guy's birthday, and it was the big one. It was 1-6. He is now a bona fide driver.
Yep.
We have three drivers. I can't tell you if you've got little kids at home and you...
Actually, suckers.
It's not the little kids that are so bad. It's when they get into all their activities. But I guess you've got a break right now, so enjoy it. But when they do get into all these activities, you are Texas City, and it is nice when they finally start driving.
So my shit list is a combination of Shy Guy's birthday extravaganza.
Yeah.
I literally just stole those words right off the page because that's what you have there. But also the whole weekend is my entire shit list.
Yeah.
Tigger came up.
It was so great.
He came up as a surprise for his brother's birthday. So the birthday was Monday. The birthday was, what's today, Wednesday? The birthday was 2 days ago, three days ago.
Yeah.
But Tigger came up on a Saturday afternoon to surprise his brother in the new car that our friends Mary Jo and Paul gave him.
Thank you, guys. You made it possible.
So one bit of this that I love, because I love driving so, so much. And I think he does, too, because he was pretty pumped. He was jazzed, like I am, on his first. He said to us, this is my first road trip, guys. Like, he was so excited. And it wasn't it's 5 hours in the car with no stops. So it's not like, you know, just tooting down the road real quick. I mean, you got to plan and have some snacks and make sure you know where the gas stations are and
no,
hand sanitizers and mask and gloves. I mean,
this was his plan. He wasn't going into any stinking bathrooms because there's too much COVID germs in there. Mom, I'm just going to pull over and pee on the side of the road. I'm like, you go for it.
Yeah. Sounds good.
And the second thing was he was going to wait until he got to Portland to get his gas before he came into Washington State because it's right on the border of the state and he wouldn't have to pump his gas. And so he was going to be clean and safe all the way here. He just took it so seriously. I love it.
Boy, was Shy Guy surprised.
That was pretty sweet.
He pulled up because it was like awkward. We were trying to get him outside and I wasn't following what you were wanting me to do.
You were not picking up what I was putting down. There was no Tigger in the driveway and you like send Shy Guy out and he's like, what? And I said, I need you to move the car. And he's like, I'm not going to play basketball. And I'm like, well, okay. And he's like, what? And I said, just get the truck keys. I just need you to, no, not the truck. You don't know how to drive a clutch. Get the car keys and I'll move the truck. Get the keys for me. And he's looking at me like I have lost my mind. And I'm looking at you like with daggers because you are now like forcing me into this terrible situation. And still there's no Tigger. And finally
he pulled in.
So Tigger got here. And of course he's coming from, he's at work. He works with kids who have autism. And so, he had to sleep in the garage because there are still a-holes out there who won't wear their goddamn masks. And so we are still in a, you know, phase one mentality at this house because we're trying to keep really safe.
But so is he, thank God. So he didn't want to get anything from us.
Nope.
And vice versa. So we all
set up a cot, put him in the garage.
Well, now, can I just say the garage has carpet?
Well, that's because the man who built this mid-century modern house was in a real 1960s frame of mind when he did so.
Drinking game.
Okay. We called the Bombcast studio because we are down the hall from what he considered his bomb shelter, because it's got foot thick.
You're doing so well with all these words.
Aren't I? I'm working hard. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Working really hard.
Bomb shelter.
If you've not listened to the show very much, or you're just joining us for the first time, for the life of me, even though it was my nickname, Bombcast Studio just could not get implanted into my brain or into the little chip in my butt. and so I never remember it. So it's always a real big celebration here on the old show.
You're chipped like the dog caster?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, she's out now.
Yeah. So I was saying something. Came up.
Carpet in the garage.
So that's where we were.
Put a heater on. We gave him a cot. We gave him yummy blankets. But the best part was he got here on a Saturday. And as soon as he arrived, the clouds rolled in and it started raining. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't come in the house, right?
Not really.
So we put up one of those big awnings on the back patio. And we covered our table on the back patio where we eat so we could all eat together. And then... Oh, Mary Jo and Paul, they lent us a
projector screen.
Yes,
like
from the 1960s. School. Also mid-century modern.
Oh, my God. Yes, the brand is Delight, D-A-L-I-T-E. You know it well. It's yes. What probably the...
in schools.
Yeah, yeah. Remember that... What was that machine called where you would... Teachers would write on the... clear plastic that would is that just
the overhead projector?
This was like the overhead projector screen.
Yes, with,
and it's like rough texture.
Yes, like sandpaper.
It's on its own tripod, and you pull it up.
Yes,
hook it on a hook. Yeah. So we set that up so that we could play Wii outside. It's raining. It's dark. We're outside, masks on, playing Wii as a family.
It was so much fun.
And I was taking video because I, you know, games or whatever.
There are four controllers, and so we had the three boys and me.
Yeah.
And I love to play Mario Kart with all of my heart. However, I'm really bad at it.
She screams.
Yeah, I had to ask the neighbors if it was okay. They had the baby
so
over there. Oh, Lord.
Love
Lordy,
a duck.
Lordy.
Lord love a duck.
Anyway, really great weekend celebrating celebrating Shy Guy, having Tigger up on his first road trip. It was really, it filled me to the brim.
Yeah. It was really, really a good visit.
And it was really hard to say goodbye to him. I hated it.
And no hugs.
No hugs.
Like, that's how serious we are, people.
Yeah.
We didn't hug our child.
So wear your masks.
And he got in his car and he drove off with his mask on. I hope he took it down.
Did he really?
Yeah. But he wanted to stay until really late. He was like, I can get home at 1 a.m. It's fine. I don't work until 11 the next day. And he was all about staying late. And so we're eating an early dinner. So that there would be time and flexibility. And we get done with dinner and it's like 6:30 and he goes, I should go.
Because he finally did the math.
Because I think it like dawned on him. Like, that was kind of funny to me. He looked up at us and he's like, I gotta go.
It was a really extended birthday bash for Shy Guy because we couldn't have like everybody over that he loves and...
Yeah, not at once.
Not at once. And so people came by like... Two people here and three people there and one person here. And so he kept getting like little mini celebrations. Mm-hmm. But it was really cool because on his birthday, he had his two besties over that he has known forever and a day. One of them he knew as an infant.
Yeah. Yes.
And
they were friends before he was out.
Yeah, that's right. And so they came over. They wore masks the whole time. They stayed 6 feet apart. They had their own basketballs. They had their own Wii controllers that were all color coded by the colors of their high school.
Yeah, they go to three different high schools. So we had the red, the green, and the blue represented.
It was awesome. So
and that was an accident, but then we really played it up because
yeah.
We kept having like, and all of a sudden I pulled out paper plates.
Yes.
That also were red, green, and blue. I was like, yeah, totally on purpose.
We did this. Yes, just for you.
We've been planning for months.
And they played badminton. They played basketball. And then we set up the Wii out front because it was a nice day. And then mm-hmm. they played Wii out front.
Yeah,
and
went until 10 o'clock, 6 to 10.
It was just a blast. Absolute
yeah.
blast.
And it was good for everybody because one of the families is even more locked down than we are. And
right.
I could just see the sun. Shy Guy's friend,
yeah,
just come alive.
Oh, he is such a social kid.
It filled him up
yep.
so much. He was having such a good time.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like anything was compromised.
No.
Like, they wore their masks. They laughed. They played. we just made sure that it was as there was no, you know, touching stuff. It was sanitary.
Yeah.
It was controlled. It was a controlled environment.
We were really, really, you know, I will say I was really tired at the end of the weekend because it's a lot to do to
exhausting.
Monitor and make sure that everybody is safe and there are no germs being shared. Because when you have other people's kids over and they are as clean or as committed to staying safe and sound as you are, that's a pretty big responsibility. And, mm-hmm. you know, Debbie, his mom, looked at us and she's like, okay, goodbye. And I know exactly what she was thinking. Please take care of my boy. And we did. So there was hand sanitizer everywhere. I think what I walked away with at the end of the weekend, if you have kids and they are really having a difficult time, and I think it's easier with older kids than it is with little kids, for sure. If you can find a way to get them together. I mean, as we have this conversation about mm-hmm. whether or not they're going to bring kids back into school, which is a horrific conversation that they're having, and so many of the points that are being made by the, you know, clown in chief, the discussion is being politicized, and it's not a political discussion. Again, like the masks aren't a political discussion, but I think that we have to do what we can as parents to give our kids something in the absence of anything,
mm-hmm.
because we can't just take it all away. And that's what I walked away with this weekend was like, okay, this might not be easy, but we do have to make it happen. And for those of you who are just like going out there and not worrying about it, and this is not a big deal for you. Well, one, my son had to sleep in the garage because
we couldn't hug him.
Yeah. Because, you know, people are not being careful enough. So please stop doing that. I would like to inspire you to make different choices.
We can't forget about these little social creatures.
Mm-hmm.
And it is possible to facilitate really fun, physically distanced gatherings. And so do so. And do so while you can, while the weather's good.
Yeah, because no kidding.
We need to be outside as much as possible with, you know, during those get-togethers.
Because winter is coming.
And it was exhausting.
Yeah.
But
it was worth every moment of it.
You know what?
What?
I realized, because I'm the most efficient person in the whole world.
Yep.
And you even said to me, wow, you had that really dialed.
You did.
I just, everything was queued up.
Yeah.
And in one spot. So here's the bag with all the sanitizer stuff. And then
mm-hmm.
here, like, I just got prepared.
Yeah.
So that it wouldn't be so exhausting. So we were coming off that weekend where it was like, okay, are you 6 feet away? Are you safe? Who's touched the food? Do we need a new utensil? Have you washed your hands?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Because
it was a lot to think about. So, but I think you can, I think you can make it work. I don't know how. Take my tip, Ellen's COVID tip.
you should sell COVID kits. Here you go, parents.
No, seriously. Like, here's this basket with the Clorox wipes mm-hmm. and the hand sanitizer and some gloves and extra, like, get some real cheap surgical masks to have on hand if someone comes and doesn't have theirs because they're a douchebag. And just, you know, have that ready to go when you come outside. And, I mean, I don't know. It's possible. We have
I'm seeing you like walk outside and like, hey, Billy. Oh, you douchebag. You didn't bring your mask.
Well, I don't know how you can be maneuvering through life right now.
Without a mask.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good luck to you. And thanks for keeping it going. You poo. Oh, you just gave
you
me.
You douchebag.
Well, I was going to say something else.
Yeah, I know what you were going to say. You were going to say dickwad, weren't you?
I wasn't going to say the wad part. So weird.
What? Oh, is that what that means?
Probably.
Ew.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hello.
I won't do that again.
Please don't.
All right. I will say that, the best part of the whole birthday weekend when we were being so careful and we were feeling so proud of ourselves was Ellen walking out with the birthday cake and we all sang happy birthday
my
to
God.
Shy Guy. And she walked up to him and he's seated in a chair and he's got his mask on and he pulls his mask down and he takes a big gulp of air and he's just about to blow and then he stops and he looks up at her and he says, should I blow? And she's like, sure. No, wait. No, don't blow. And she like ran away with the cake because, of course, nobody would have been able to eat it.
He like snapped over the candles and put them out.
Yeah. Yeah. That was great.
Yeah. I can't. He's like the one with the head on his shoulders.
I know it. We were so we were enamored of our young boy turning 16.
Yeah. Well, he got up that morning and by 9 a.m. had gone online and had his license.
He did.
And at 9:45, he rolled out of the house for his first solo drive to go to his other mom's house to have a birthday celebration over there. And then he rolled back over here at like 3 in the afternoon. Like it was no big deal.
But I will tell you, We have sent two other boys off on their first drive, and it is bloody nerve-wracking when you do that. But when the boy you're sending off is half black, in these times, yeah. It was freaky.
I was
deaky.
Real nervous.
Yeah, it was really nerve-wracking. I love the fact that his other mom said, take the insurance and the title of the car out of the glove box and put it in the visor above his head so that he doesn't have to reach into the glove box. And I thought that was a brilliant and really sad, thing that we had to do. But it was smart. And he didn't care. He could have cared less.
That we know of. For sure. But he's certainly had a calm
demeanor.
Yeah, he didn't have any of his normal little tells where he's freaked out. He actually seemed very collected. He was very poised the whole day.
Oh, he's come on, 16, bring it. Yeah, he loves being 16.
I'm gonna jinx it by saying this, but it's kind of a different, something has woken up inside of him.
Yeah.
He's just hello world. But 16 is a really good age.
That's a coming of age.
What the hell is 15? What a stupid year.
I know it.
Legally.
It's like 20.
Oh, so close.
Yeah.
You turn 15 and you're just like, ugh.
12,
one
15,
more year.
And 20. They're all sucky years.
Yeah, so he's 16. He's driving. He's going to be a junior in high school. Not bad.
I am just beaming ear to ear.
Yeah.
Hey, we got an email this week from a good friend of ours who listens to the podcast. Shout out to Rachel. Love hearing from you, Rachel. We talked about kids'
shows.
Shows
it was
last
kids shows.
Was it last week?
Yeah. No, that was sports.
2 weeks ago. Oh yeah, sports. So this was 2 weeks ago. We
this
were talking
was
about
3 weeks ago.
We talked about bad cartoons and good cartoons.
Wow, that was a long time ago.
And we got an email from Rachel, and she said she sent some pictures, and there were pictures of books, her favorite books when she was raising her kids, and then a game that she loved playing with her small kids, and she still plays with her son, which I find hilarious. But she said, "Hi Bonnie and Ellen, what a great episode! I am 100% with you on Detest." Caillou. Oh, I have to tell you this.
We got a lot of
Caillou,
feedback from people that were 100%. Although one gal, my friend Jess, was like, I think I'm the only person.
You are who, Jess.
Yes. Yeah,
nobody likes Caillou but you.
Nobody.
No. I was on Slack for work, and a coworker of mine has a little boy named Gus, and Gus loves the Kratt Brothers new show. I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head.
Zaboomafoo 2?
Yeah, it's the Zaboomafoo guys, but they've started a new show, and I know if you have
Kratt
Brothers.
Not crap.
I know that if you have small kids, you're yelling at your device right now. It's called yada yada, and I don't care. Anyway, so Gus had a birthday, and his parents said you can keep part of the money, donate part of the money, and spend part of the money. And so he decided that he was going to send part of his money for a donation to the Kratt Brothers. And so he dictated a letter to his mom, and she sent it off to the Kratt Brothers. And you know what they did?
They wrote back.
They wrote back, but they also sent back a signed, framed poster of the show.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. And so Gus is in seventh heaven, but it was really funny because Matt at work put this in the Slack channel, and I said, oh, my God, it's so funny that you would post this right now. We were just talking about this on the podcast, and, the Kratt Brothers was one of my favorite, and, Caillou is the devil, and Matt just wrote back, fuck you, Caillou.
Oh, my God.
I was dying.
That's pretty much the sentiment of the notes that came in to
Everybody said that about Caillou. You go online and look up Caillou, you will laugh your rear end off. I'm not kidding you.
That one little theme song that's instead of his theme song.
Oh, yeah.
I can't repeat what is said. And it's not swear words or inappropriate. It's just mean-spirited
about
the poor kid. But I was like, oh, my God. Yes.
Caillou won't die.
Oh, you just gave it away. Yeah.
I was going to post.
Won't die. Won't die. I'm like, oh, that's
so bad.
Oh,
okay.
God.
Sorry. All right. So Rachel says, hi, Bonnie
Rachel.
And Ellen. What a great episode. I'm 100% with you on Detesting Caillou. What a terrible kids show. And when you started listing favorites, I had to yell out Between the Lions. We still reference that show. Do you remember Cliffhanger, which I had forgotten about? Cliffhanger! The red hat, green hat episode. Tor just recalled how the announcer bunny freaked him out as a kid, kind of like how the puppets in Mr. Rogers freaked me out as a kid, but I love the show
anyway.
Those
were intense puppets.
They were. Here is a game and three books we still have from when the kids were little that we couldn't bear to part with. Who am I kidding? We played the I Never Forget a Face game this afternoon. My Aunt Came Back is about a globetrotting aunt who brings her niece random gifts from around the world.
Hmm.
My daughter always wanted to grow up to be that aunt. We've made Mama Pena's pancakes, and they are delicious, although we did make an alteration to the recipe. A cup of cayenne seems too much spice, don't you think? I still can't read Mama, Do You Love Me without tearing up. If you have a place to post them for parents of young kids, please do. They come highly recommended, and we will. We'll post them on our social channels.
Nice.
Cheers, Rachel. Thanks for writing, Rachel. Really, really, really loved hearing from you. Here's what I loved about what she sent.
Oh, you're whispering. What'd she love about?
All of the things that she sent, like the Mama Pena's pancakes, yeah. A village tale from Kenya. So everybody on the front cover is African American.
Nice.
Pat Cummings' My Aunt Came Back is two people on the front cover, African American. Mama, Do You Love Me? Eskimo not Eskimo.
Inuit.
And then the game, I Never Forget a Face, is all diverse and multicultural.
Nice.
That's a matching, like a concentration, you know, mm-hmm. the game concentration. And this book, Mama, Do You Love Me, reminded me of I'll Love You Forever.
Yeah. Oh, that's a killer.
Okay, here's the...
That is a killer.
I love that book, even though it's kind of weird when she picks up her full-grown son, sneaks into his room, and rocks him back and forth.
Well, that's what you picture yourself doing. It's a metaphor.
Yeah. and I used to read that to the kids, and there's a song that the mother sings to the boy. You never know what the song sounds like, mm-hmm. right? And so my tune was... Well, I changed the words because I was in the middle of battling cancer and I wasn't sure I was going to live. And so I changed the word slightly so that it goes, I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as you're living, my baby, you'll be. And I was looking at this book and I stumbled across a video of the author of I'll Love You Forever.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman who was interviewing him said, you know, there's a song in that book. And I'm wondering what it sounds like when you sing it.
Mm-hmm.
And
was it your tune?
No, it was not my tune. It was way more beautiful. He had a gorgeous voice. And that book was inspired because he and his wife had two stillborn children.
Oh.
And so that was their
bummer.
That was their ode to the love, to a mother's love, how it doesn't matter. It goes beyond death.
Yeah.
Right?
Yikes.
And I thought that was so perfect. That was, you know, the kind of the spirit of why they wrote it. And,
mm-hmm.
and it certainly did that for me. You know,
yeah.
I changed the words so that I wanted them always to remember that song. I'm sure they wouldn't know what I was talking about right now mm-hmm. if I asked them. But wasn't that a sweet story?
Yes.
A little bittersweet.
Yeah. And you sang for us.
Oh, badly, but I did.
That was very good.
We will post pictures of Rachel's recommendations
nice.
For books. And she got us thinking about this week's episode because that game is a game I had not thought of or even heard of.
I have not heard of that game.
So this week, we're going to talk about kids' games.
Well, not just kids' games.
No.
We're going to talk about
games. Yeah,
because they affect all of us.
Well, and this is also a good time to talk about games. If you're not playing a game with your family right now, you're probably not very normal because when you're locked down, games are a good thing to do, right?
Games, puzzles.
Oh, I hate puzzles.
Hate puzzles?
You could have a pandemic from now until the day I die and I would not do a puzzle.
Hmm.
I know. Isn't that, I'm just.
You know what I'm going to do?
Buy puzzles?
No, I'm going to have my will. Blown up into a big image and made into a fucking puzzle. So if you want to know who gets my shit,
I have to put it together.
You have to put the puzzle together.
There ain't no money worth that.
Well, I got none,
so it doesn't matter.
You're pretty safe to not do the puzzle.
Well,
let's start with video games because they're the bane of my goddamn existence.
Can I just say one thing, though, before we get into video games?
Sure.
There is one game that we're no longer playing because we've completed the D&D. The D&D, it wasn't a campaign. It was supposed to be a one-shot, but it turned into like...
No, it was a one-shot, but it was just like took, you know,
four
or five sessions
yeah.
to get through it because we were all noobs. So we didn't know what was going on.
No. And we did it. We finished it and we failed.
We failed. We died. We were trapped in some claustrophobic situation. Lola said, okay, that's it.
Thanks a lot, Lola.
Wait.
Well,
it was super anticlimactic.
It was really our fault because we were supposed to like rescue this guy, find the satchel that he had been stolen from him.
We all forgot about the satchel.
We forgot about the satchel.
We found
the
guy.
And we left.
And we took off out of this cave, but we weren't supposed to leave the cave.
And Lola was like,
So apparently that gave the
bad guy time to like hide and take like hide and take off. So by the time we got back, they were waiting for us, trapped us, and then it was down to one roll. And of course,
we died.
We died. And that was it. It was over. So we did it. We held up our end of the bargain and did a one shot of D&D.
Yeah. And it was actually really fun.
It was fine.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah.
I don't like games like that. But he did an amazing job.
He did.
As a D&D master. Like the level of detail,
his characters.
His characters.
His storytelling.
The voices. He had music.
Oh my God, the music.
Little
the soundtrack
figurines.
Of our games. Yes.
A big map. Like he did a superb job.
Yeah.
But it's not my cup of tea.
No game is your cup of tea.
So
honey.
I'm like,
she hates games.
Yeah, I do. So,
we're gonna talk about games. How exciting!
This is gonna be my favorite episode ever.
Starting, well, we've got video games, board games, card games, party games. You know, there's all
okay. Let's
kinds
talk
of...
about those four.
Okay, well, let's start with video games then.
Okay.
Can I start with like one of my favorites?
One of your favorite video games?
Yes.
You can start anywhere you want because this is your show.
It was the first video game I ever played way back in the day when it first came out in 1981.
Oh, I know. Go ahead.
You don't know.
Yeah.
Donkey Kong.
Oh.
You thought I was going to say Ms. Pac-Man,
I did.
Didn't you? No, Donkey Kong was the first. I was in Holland.
Oh.
I was in...
High as a kite?
Probably. I don't really remember, oddly enough. No. I know that I was in a bar.
Okay.
And it was just an amazing experience. For those of you who don't know... He was born, Donkey Kong was born in 1981. You know, he ran on this little, it was a platform action puzzle. I don't know if you've ever played it or not. It was set in an industrial construction setting. And he faced a character that was called in Japan, Jumpman.
Mm-hmm.
But do you know who that character was over here?
It's Wario.
Mario.
Oh, I thought it was the bad.
No, it's Mario. Yeah, it's Mario.
Oh, because Mario's the good guy, right?
Well,
Donkey Kong's the bad guy? You're trying to rescue the princess.
Yeah, you're trying to rescue the princess.
You're Mario. You're trying to work your way up, and Donkey Kong is throwing down.
Oh, is that how it went?
Yeah, because he's like King Kong, and he's stolen the princess. And
oh,
he's
right.
Throwing these barrels at
that's
you.
That's right.
And
oh,
you've
my gotta God.
You've got to work your way up.
I had that
yeah,
flipped.
Yeah, it is Mario.
Yeah,
that's
and
right.
So that's where the whole Mario Kart franchise, the whole Mario Brothers franchise came from. But that was so much fun, and that was the first time I ever experienced the screaming. Because I didn't know.
Oh, you're screaming.
Yes.
Like primal.
Yeah. So I'm sitting across from one of my best friends in the world. Brenda and I are playing this game in this bar in Amsterdam. And I'm like almost ripping the joystick off of the game.
Is it a table?
It's a table,
like
yeah.
Like a pizza joint type?
Yes.
Yep.
And I am screaming so loud that they're giving me free drinks because it's attracting so many customers.
You have led a charmed life. You're screaming like a fool. And they're like, here's your free drinks.
Yeah.
You're bringing in a crowd. And you're oblivious to the fact that there's a crowd, I bet.
No, totally.
You're just trying to
I'm just like trying
save
to get the
princess.
You could sit down today and play Donkey Kong and be just as happy now as you were in 1981 if you were even born at that time because I'm such an ancient lady.
Well, would it? Yeah. So do you think it would be as fun today if you were playing like still at a Shakey's Pizza and it was like the 8-bit tabletop?
I think so. I think because it's a good game. I think it's, you know, it's just naturally challenging. It's nostalgic for those of us who are the ancient
oh, it's
ladies.
So nostalgic.
And I know the kids love the old stuff. That's why what is it? Nintendo 64? Is that what it's called?
N64 is definitely a
big deal right now. It's got all those old
games. Oh, because it's come back.
Yeah.
Well, doesn't the Switch?
Oh, that's what I mean.
The Switch. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, listen to this. So here's a list of the most popular video game characters. And this is from Wikipedia. And I don't know how there's numbers after each one of these characters. And I have no idea what the numbers mean.
Okay.
And I couldn't even figure it out on Wikipedia either. If it's like
and shout out
a popularity rating or whatever. But
yeah.
It's in the millions. And these are definitely in order. So the number one most popular video game character of all time is...
Mario.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Of
and
course
that's
it is.
Probably because he started at Donkey Kong in 1981.
Yeah.
Number two, Pikachu. Number three, Sonic the Hedgehog. Number four, Link from The Legend of Zelda.
Oh, you know, I had that on the list. I don't know The Legend of Zelda.
In fifth place, a tie for fifth place, three characters, Michael, Franklin, and Trevor from Grand Theft Auto V.
Oh, my God. Have you ever played that?
No. Master Chief from Halo, Lara Croft from Tomb Raider, and coming in last at whatever number this is, what is this, like number 8? Donkey Kong.
Donkey Kong.
So you've got Mario and Donkey Kong as your bookends.
Yeah. Some of those characters give me the heebs. And it's because it reminds me of the time when Lola just got sucked into gaming to the extent that he lost his phone and his computer because he wouldn't stop gaming.
Well, yeah, he had a definite addiction.
Yep.
I mean, I think it really
qualifies.
Just qualifies as that. And so Lola at some point wanted to have like a microphone so that he could do some like podcasting and do some YouTube videos where he narrated what he was doing like during gameplay.
Right.
So we got him a little microphone and we actually set him up a spot in this room.
Yes. And he did he use it?
Well, he did. He did use it.
One time.
How did he use it, you might ask?
Oh.
Well, so one day I get home from work at about 4:30, as I do, and he's nowhere to be found in this house. And this is a week where we don't have Shy Guy, and Tigger is a freshman in college.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking around, and it's like, you know, it's 4:45.
Yeah.
And he should be, like, having a snack, sitting down to do piano, doing homework, I don't know, taking a nap, reading a book, anything. I can't find him in the house.
He should be here.
He should be at the house.
Yeah.
So I can kind of hear some faint, like, noises. And I think, okay, he's downstairs somewhere. So I go downstairs. He's not in his room. He's not in the rec room. He's not in either of his brother's rooms. He's not in the bathroom. And then I realize that he's in here. He's in this studio. And I swing open the door, and there he is, using the monitor that we set up for him to do his
podcasting.
His computer is plugged into it. He has a headset on. He's leaned back in a chair, and he is gaming so hard, he has no idea I'm even standing there. And so he looks at me, and he's like, gotta go, and he, like, logs off. And there's a huge discussion that night about how that is not how
we're going to
start
this.
The school year.
That's right.
Like, not at all. So we all, okay, sorry, you know, you're right. Because at that point for us, gaming... And I hate gaming.
Yep.
Like, I'm sorry. I think it's an absolute
waste of
total
time.
And complete waste of time.
Yep.
So to my friends out there who are game designers, I'm sorry. So that's a weekend activity, or it's a time and place activity. But in an evening where there's stuff to do, stuff you've signed up to do.
Yeah. And piano lessons are expensive.
You got to do that stuff.
Yes.
And then earn
the right to game.
Right. So the next day, guess what happened?
What? You came home and
the
he was down
thing.
Here. Yeah.
But this time I walked in and slammed his computer shut.
Whoa.
And unplugged everything and took it. And he was
mad.
Furious with me.
Oh.
But he was nowhere near as mad with me as I was with him.
Yeah.
Because he broke every
trust.
Everything we had established the night before, he broke.
Yep.
Right back to it.
Yep.
And that is really when we went, this kid needs some help.
Yeah. And so we intervened. We all intervened as teachers. We did. I mean, everyone who loved him. And we all got on the Lola train. And
all aboard.
Woo! Woo!
I think that's why I don't like video games is because.
Yeah, me too.
When I was little, I had a Game Boy. I think my grandma got us, my sisters and I, all Game Boys. I don't know how that all came about, actually, how we got Game Boys, because it wasn't something that my parents would have purchased. I don't even know if it would have been necessarily on their, like, radar.
Mm-hmm.
But it was never something that I couldn't not put down. It was like, dinner time, okay, turn it off.
Yeah.
You're about to beat the game. I don't care. Like, it just never was the hook for me.
Right, right.
But I understand the draw and that it can be.
Mm-hmm.
But fuck, man.
Well,
like, that flips a switch in your brain, and it scares me for kids because I have seen it really, really
just take over the lives of people.
Some serious struggles for our other kids as well. And it's like, to what end?
And now it's the phones. And I will tell you, here's the story for you parents who are in the thick of it right now, and we still are dealing with it. It just is a fact of life, especially in the high school years. Lola has told us, thank you. Thank you so much for what you did. You were absolutely right. I was headed down the wrong path, and I could not have done it by myself. I really value what you did. So if you trust your gut and you put your foot down and, like Ellen, you walk into the room and slam that thing shut and take it away.
Oh, man, I was mad.
Yeah, you're going to do yourself and your family and, most importantly, your child a favor. So not an expert here, just saying, do the right thing.
Well, not only is there an addiction component to video games, and video games are fun. Don't get me wrong.
I love them.
But you've got to monitor what they're doing, I think. And it's especially tricky when you've got shared custody and you've got one household that almost uses the Game Boys and the games as a slap in the face to the other side.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, fuck you guys. We're going to do whatever we want over here.
You and your rules.
So the kids come back bloodshot and exhausted because they've been gaming for, you know, 7 fucking days long.
Yeah.
But anyway, there's also the money component.
Oh, speaking of the money component.
And one time, I got a bill from Apple for $50 of booster packs and bonuses that was added on to, like, Angry Birds or something. And there was only one person using my phone to play games, and that was Shy Guy.
Which is just not like him to.
And so I went down there and I held up the receipt and I said, did you spend $50 on boosters and bonus packs on whatever game? And he burst into tears. I don't know why I did it. It was really easy to just keep buying it. And I mean, I guess he had my password or I didn't have it set up to ask for it.
Yeah, which you got to be careful.
Used to be a thing. And I walked over to his little cigar box and I said, you owe me $50. And he like gave me $50 out of his cigar box. And then he threw himself down on his bed and just sobbed.
Oh, like, what? Here's what's worse,
though. That was the last time he ever used my phone to play a game.
So there's the kids buying the games and the booster packs and everything else that you might not know about. Then they're sneaking the video games, the electronic games. And then there's when the games actually co-opt the spirit of the parents and you, like, gladly shell out hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars. And I am thinking here about Skylanders.
Oh, my God. How many of those little figurines did we have?
Those little fuckers.
I mean, it's clever.
It
I guess
is, yes.
They, like, you put it on the little stand and the character comes to life on the screen. But those were each, what, $25?
At least.
I mean, we're idiots.
Yeah, we just bought all of, they had, I don't know how
we
many
we could have
they
given
had.
Them a jar of peanut butter and a spatula and they would have been just as happy. Just go eat this.
If you've not ever heard of Skylanders, it is really cool. It's a video game that you play on your television, or I guess it was a Wii game.
It's a Wii game.
Yeah. And you would buy these little figurines and there was this little platform. It was like the Transformer platform.
The dock.
And you would put your little figurine on the dock and all of a sudden on the television screen, and there would be
there
your
would
character.
Be the figurine. Yeah, it was very clever.
And so they just had to have the newest figurines. And I think we went through a year plus of spending bank on those damn things. And all of a sudden, one day, it was over.
They were done.
They were so done.
And we had enough figurines that they filled a 5-gallon Home Depot orange bucket.
Yeah.
And they just gave them to one of our friends' friends,
like,
just
sorry, friends of friends,
gave him to Ira.
Sorry,
just,
parents.
Here you go. And he just used him as little figures.
Yes, because they came with warnings. Look, Jess, Julian, do not buy the game. Just let him play.
That's
with
what
these.
They asked for Christmas.
Yes.
Why didn't we research that?
I don't.
We're
know.
Like, oh, okay, so we'd go buy this like Skylander pack of like three and another. Oh, god damn.
Fools.
So here's another set of stats for you. Here's the 6 highest selling video games of all time, in this moment in time.
Mm-hmm.
Number 1 is Minecraft. Number 2 is Grand Theft Auto 5. Number 3 is Tetris.
Tetris?
Yeah, Game Boy cartridge from the 90s.
My gosh.
I mean, this is of all time, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Number 4, Wii Sports, which I find hard to believe.
I kind of like Wii Sports, though.
Okay, then another one I've never heard of called PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds.
What?
And rounding out the list, number 6, Super Mario Brothers, which they don't specify which version, but that was the first Nintendo game. Not in the console system.
Yeah,
I had a
little
Game Boy and I played Tetris on it. But the original Nintendo, my cousin who got everything and got it first and like everything.
Uh-huh.
He was the coolest kid. I was like, oh my God. I played it with him, but I would die immediately and then he'd win the game. So I would just sit there
and then watch
and just be pissed.
Yes.
Just super resentful. That's why I was a chubby kid, because I'd sit there with the guacamole while he
just
played.
Watch.
Yeah, fucker. Chris, you fucker.
Lola's favorite video game these days is Skyrim, which is a game I've never played before. I don't know anything about it, but that's interesting to note. And you mentioned The Legend of Zelda before.
Mm-hmm.
I guess Breath of the Wild, its newest version, or one of its newer versions, is really fun for everybody in the family to play with. But I will tell you that my favorite video game, even though Donkey Kong was my first. Mm-hmm. You were right in assuming that I was going to talk about Ms. Pac-Man, but I loved Pac-Man and Ms. Pac-Man. I loved the meet cute. I loved the mm-hmm. Did you know there are how many levels in Pac-Man? 256.
In Pac-Man or
Pac-Man.
Oh, wow.
256 levels, and they don't think anybody has actually ever gone through all the levels. It's Wikipedia. That's what Wikipedia says. But this game was originally inspired, or the Pac-Man was originally inspired by a pizza with a slice missing. So the developer, the guy who created the game, I don't remember his name, but he looked at a pizza and went, and the ghosts that Pac-Man eats were inspired in part by Casper the Friendly Ghost, and their names are translated from the Japanese names are Chaser, Ambusher, Fickle, and Stupid.
Oh my God. There's only four?
Yeah.
Oh.
And it's one of the, and each of them has a different strategy. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. I learned a lot of stuff from Wikipedia tonight.
Wikipedia, right?
I love that thing.
You better donate.
One of the highest grossing and best-selling game series of all time, but in all of the games I was researching tonight, in every Wikipedia entry, it said that same thing. Oh. I'm like, well, come on, which one is it?
Well, did you ever see those little Coleco tabletop video games like Donkey Kong? You could get one.
No.
Donkey. So picture at a, not the tabletop, like you sit down at Shakey's Pizza, but around the corner from that at Shakey's Pizza, the full stand-up arcade games.
Okay. Yeah.
So shrink that down to something that would sit on the table.
No way.
So it's got little joysticks and the hood.
I would break the joystick.
Okay. I had one of those. 1981 Coleco Ms. Pac-Man mini arcade tabletop.
Do you still have it?
Yes.
No.
I just found out tonight. Breaking news. I was researching for this episode, and I remember that game that I had. And the screen that you're playing on, it's digital. Like, the screen you're playing on is digital like a calculator. So you can see all the little... But
yes.
It's Ms. Pac-Man. You're playing it. You're being chased by the ghosts.
Oh, my
gosh. You go through all these different levels.
Yes.
Okay, so a couple things. One, I was researching for this show, and I looked that up because I remember it from my childhood so distinctly.
Yeah.
And I found it, and I found it for sale on Etsy for close to $200.
What?
So I was like, shit, I wonder if we still have this. So I sent my mom a text, and she sent me back a picture of it.
Can we post that picture?
Turned on.
Okay, let's post it.
Yeah, we can not only do that, we'll post video of me playing it because I'm going to have her ship it to me. But one of my distinct memories with that is that I would play it and I could never beat it.
Was it Pac-Man or Ms. Pac-Man?
It was Ms. Pac-Man.
Okay.
It is Ms. Pac-Man.
Yeah.
I think it takes 4 C batteries.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like heavy. You
yeah.
can't knock it over in a
right.
windstorm. So I remember at one point, no shit, Bonnie, my mom locked herself in their walk-in closet so that she could, and turned out all the lights because
so
it made the screen so bright, and she didn't come out until she beat it. And she beat it. She beat it.
Good
and then
on
she,
you, and then Nancy. She, that is awesome.
Yeah, but then she was like, here you go, I'm done. I mean, because once you do that, I would imagine you don't have a lot of interest in playing it ever again.
Oh, I don't know. I would marry Ms. Pac-Man if I could. I love that game.
Yeah. Well, I cannot wait to get my hands on that thing.
You should buy me that for Christmas.
Buy you a Ms. Pac-Man?
An arcade game size Ms. Pac-Man.
Oh, thousands of dollars.
Is that how much they are?
Probably.
Oh.
Where would we put that?
Right here.
In our mid-century modern house. Where would we put that? 1980s.
Hey, you know what? I have a little bit of trivia about Pac-Man. You want to hear something funny? It was originally Puck-Man in Japan, but they changed the name because they were afraid of people defacing it by replacing the P with an F.
Well, I immediately thought of Fuck-Man when you said that.
Right? Oh, I love that. Yeah. Well, we could talk about video games all night long, but let's not. Let's move on.
Well, let me just end with this.
Okay.
I looked up what's the least popular video game in the world.
Oh.
And it's something called Super Meat Boy.
What?
Yeah, like steak, like a meat, like M-E-A-T. In the game, the player controls Meat Boy, a red cube-shaped character, as he attempts to rescue his girlfriend, Bandage Girl, from the game's antagonist, Dr. Fetus. It's the least popular game, like, on the planet.
So there's a Band-Aid.
Super Meat Boy.
And there's a cubed piece of meat. Well, I wonder why it was...
The bad guy is Dr. Fetus.
That is just gross.
So fuck that. Let's talk about board games.
Oh, God. You know, my board game list, I know we can't get to it all, but it was... I couldn't stop. There's just so many fun ones from my childhood.
And me too. I have six.
You have six?
Six that I liked to play when I was little.
What did you like to play? Name one.
Chutes and Ladders.
Oh, I really hated that game.
Okay, well, it's a game of chance. I mean, spin the island.
I don't like games of chance. You probably like them because there's nothing else you have to do but just
No strategy. Just spin the wheel.
Or roll the dice. I don't have Yahtzee on here, but I should have.
Oh, Yahtzee. I have Connect Four.
Connect Four is such a good
game. I love that game.
I love the big life-size ones they have now, the yard games of Connect Four. Have you seen those?
No, we should get that.
We should totally get that.
Actually, we shouldn't.
No, we should.
I don't want to store it in the garage. I don't want to store it in the carpeted mid-century garage.
That's the dumbest reason I've
ever
heard in my
life. Sorry, it's full of shit we don't use. We have lawn darts.
Did you hear something?
Oh, my God.
Is somebody talking? I'm sorry.
This is a fun solo podcast by Ellen. Do-do-do-do-do-do.
Okay, you have to go.
Candyland.
Oh, I loved Candyland. I forgot about that game.
Yep.
I loved playing it with the kids, too.
Candyland was developed by someone who was in the hospital with polio, I think, is the way the story goes.
No kidding.
So there was no, you don't have to know anything.
Yeah.
You can just play it with, all you have to do is be able to count.
That's so sweet.
Anyone can play Candyland. I'm pretty sure that's the story I read.
Scrabble's on my list, and I actually saw a new version of Scrabble that is, it's not the Scrabble that we all know as adults, but it's there are two versions. So each side of the game board, one is for kids who don't know how to spell at all but are learning, and then you flip it over, and it's kids who are somewhat older. So I thought that was kind of fun. But now what I love to play and what we like to play as a family, Rummy Cube.
Oh,
so much fun.
Yeah. Or is it Rummy Cub?
We just got a brand new one because our little trays broke on the old one.
The little feet broke. Now there's no feet.
Did you know that Connect Four has over 2,300 five-star ratings on Amazon?
That's a lot.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Do you want to know the highest-selling games of all time?
What?
Okay, here we go. So these are also the most popular. The most popular board games in the world and the highest-selling. The top five lined up, so I'm just going to give you a handful.
Okay.
The number one most popular and highest-selling board game in the world.
Monopoly.
Chess. In the world.
In the world?
Chess.
Okay.
Here we go. Chess. Checkers.
Oh, I love checkers.
Backgammon.
I don't have that on my list. It's my favorite game to
Monopoly,
play.
Monopoly.
Uh-huh.
Scrabble.
Uh-huh.
Clue. Trivial Pursuit. Battleship.
I forgot about Trivial Pursuit.
Candyland.
You sunk my battleship.
The Game of Life.
Oh, the Game of Life.
Rummy Cub. Othello.
What?
Pictionary.
I loved Pictionary.
Risk.
Okay.
Catan.
Settlers.
Stratego.
Stratego. Yeah.
Mancala.
Oh my God, that's an African bean game. It's so fun.
Blockus.
I have one. Blockus?
Yeah. It looks like Tetris from the top down, kind of.
Oh, okay.
Like these kind of translucent.
Remember Rock'em Sock'em Robots?
Yeah, that's not a board game.
No, but it's kind of a funny little thing.
Cranium.
Oh, we had that for years, never played it here.
And finally, Connect Four.
Oh my God, some of those are such, I can't believe it.
Can I just say that I loved watching my parents play? Can I just say, of course I can say, it's my goddamn fucking show. I loved watching my parents play Trivial Pursuit at parties.
Why?
When I was little. I just thought it was fascinating watching the adults try to figure out the trivia.
Oh, interesting.
And like they would try, you know, deductive reasoning and like try to figure out, well, this happened and so that happened, because the questions are hard.
Yeah, they are.
And one of my favorite things when we go to East 20 Pizza
is doing
and to read the Trivial Pursuit questions, which probably are, those cards are really, really worn out and like all dog-eared and
stuff.
They're
full of COVID germs.
They're held together by the virus.
Yes. If you've not been to East 20 Pizza, it's in Winthrop in the Metau Valley in Washington State, and it's the best pizza.
And you can put on your gloves and play some Trivial Pursuit.
That's right.
And at least one of the answers will be Elvis Presley.
Oh, what about Operation? Did you ever play Operation?
Oh, my God.
I know.
That gave me such anxiety.
Yes. Fine motor skills. Now the little red bulb nose would go...
Yeah, right. And it was so, like, the stuff was so stupid.
It went 12
like the wishbone
of stupidity, yes.
Oh, my God. So dumb.
Scrabble is one of Shy Guy's favorite games. Risk, Shy Guy and Lola both put on their list. One of my favorite games to play is Clue, which is called, originally, Cluedo, and I think it's still called that in England. It is a play on Clue and Ludo, which is Latin for I play, and a common British term for the game, Parcheesi.
Oh.
I've never played Parcheesi. I have no idea what that even means, but okay. It was developed in 1943 by an English gent, Anthony Pratt. And if you've not played it, it's you have to figure out who murdered the victim, where did it happen, which weapon was used. So, for example, Colonel Mustard did it with a wrench in the...
Library.
Okay.
And I'm sorry, it was a candlestick.
Well, here's all of the eliminated items, people, and rooms from the original game. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
There was a Mr. Brown, a Mr. Gold, a Miss Gray, and a Mrs. Silver. So they were really into the colors, right? Because there's a Miss Scarlet mm-hmm. who actually survived the cut. Nurse White and Colonel Yellow were renamed Mrs. White and Colonel Mustard. And he's my favorite.
Until I learned how to read, I said all growing up. When I was little, I said Colonel Mustard.
Colonel?
And then I was like, wait. That's Colonel to you.
They used to have a gun room and a cellar.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they got rid of those. And then they had some weapons that they nixed as well. A bomb, a syringe.
Jesus.
A shillelagh, which is a walking stick. Wow. Or maybe it's shillelagh. A fireplace poker, an axe, and poison.
Cyanide.
Probably. Have you ever played Mousetrap?
No, I don't think so. I've seen it set up. You know, the Mousetrap, if I'm thinking of the right game, has a lot of parts.
Yes, and it's like a gold rubric sort of.
Rube Goldberg.
Yes.
And I feel like every time I've attempted to play or I've been a babysitter and the kids wanted to play, pieces were missing.
That is exactly what I wrote down. We had one, and yeah, there was we never had all the pieces.
I don't think I've ever been able to actually play it.
So it doesn't actually work if you don't have all the pieces, because it is a Rube Goldberg, and it has to actually have all of those little levers and things.
Mistake.
I know.
Hasbro or whatever.
I am an ace at Battleship.
Oh, Battleship's a good game. That was so high-end to me when I was little. I don't think we owned it, but my sisters probably wouldn't have wanted to play it anyway. But that was what, like... other people had.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
And so...
we were poor as they come, and that was, like, one of the games we had. We had, like, three games, and I loved Battleship.
But talk about pieces to lose.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God.
I know. Lola said that one of his favorite games is Betrayal at House on the Hill. And we have to tell you, Lola has great taste. And when I was looking that up, because I'd never heard of it before, mm-hmm. people love this game. But I guess it's really spooky. It's a spooky board game. They call it scary and, you know, based on horror. And it's very immersive and detailed. So you might want to check that one out.
Well, Tigger said his favorite board game was something called Twilight Imperium. And I looked it up and it looked complicated. So I closed the window. Because I don't actually like any of those kind of games. Settlers of Catan, Risk.
Love Settlers.
Hate.
Yeah, you are just such a party pooper.
Like Monopoly. I can't stand Monopoly. It's stupid.
It takes too long. But now they have a rapid play Monopoly. I guess it takes like 30 minutes to do the round, which I might be able to get into that. But there are so many other good games, like card games. I love card games. Yeah, I do. Even Uno.
I love Uno.
Yeah, it's just a fun game, period.
Draw four, bitch. Skip a turn.
You know, when you hit like 12 years old and all of a sudden you are in that really awkward, awful stage where you are not really a young kid and you don't feel like a young kid. You feel like you are definitely coming of age, but you can't hang out with the adults because they think you're just a kid and they treat you like a kid and it just makes you crazy.
And you have a bedtime.
Oh, my God. It's just the worst age.
No, I remember that.
One of the things I loved at that age was I got invited to play the game 31 with my mom and my older siblings.
What?
And 31 is a gambling card game. It's really fun if you've never played it, but you start with three nickels or three dimes or three quarters. At this house, we play with like
quarters.
Do we?
Mm-hmm.
Out of the change jar.
Mm-hmm. For some reason, we have an abundance of quarters.
I don't know why that happens.
I don't either. I think because we put the meter app on our phone.
Yes, so that was it.
We don't need quarters anymore. They're dead to us.
But I would walk away sometimes with bank for a 12-year-old back in the day, right? And it is such a fun game to play.
That's actually one that Shy Guy put on his list.
I taught him
He said Racing Demons and 31.
Racing Demons is... okay, that is our family game. If you've never played Racing Demons, you might know it as Nerts, or you might know it as Pounce. It's got a lot of different names.
It's true. We call it Racing Demons. Right. I don't know.
Because we learned from an English woman.
Oh, is that what they call it?
Yes. We call it Nerts here
what
in the States.
Kitty calls it? Okay.
Kitty. You have to say it right.
Kitty.
Kitty. Hello, Kitty. anyway, it is a really fast-paced, like real-time multiplayer card game, but it's like you're playing solitaire but against each other.
Yeah, totally.
Right?
That's a great way to explain it.
So everybody has a deck, and gameplay is a combo of like solitaire and speed. So you have to go really fast. And it's a super frenetic game. It was created in the 1890s.
Wow.
I know.
Yeah. It's like solitaire right in front of you, but only four cards up. And in the middle, you're playing the aces and you're building up.
You're playing on everyone's cards. And that area is called the lake, Ellen.
I didn't know that.
I know. There's four areas of play. The lake, which is in the middle of all the players. The river, which is your four up right in front of you. The stream, which is the like solitaire.
Draw three. Yep.
You go one, two, three and flip your cards over. And then the Nerts pile, which is your pile of cards.
Your
pile of 13.
Well, we'll definitely post a link to the rules of that game because
you will love it.
It's great. You can play with you can't play with two. That's just called double solitaire and get a life. But three and up, and you can play with good groups.
Eight,
I don't know when you need to start adding. Everyone has their own deck, so I don't know.
It's a matter of if you can.
You
reach
can reach.
The,
I don't know. Yeah.
It is.
So
it is
look it up. That's absolutely the most. And that was all of the kids said. Their number one favorite card game was Racing Demons.
And probably one of our favorite family stories comes out of Racing Demons because, as you know, as we've talked about before, we have a shy guy and he is super quiet. And when he, how old do you think he, oh, I was, let me see.
Well, it was 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Yeah, 3 years ago. And we were over.
3 years ago, this October.
We were over in the Metau, and
so
he was being as
so
quiet
he was 13.
As 13. Yeah, 13, that uncomfortable
And there is
weird
a
age.
Big difference between 13 and 16, right, guys? So he was a lot younger.
Yeah. Tigger wasn't with it.
Tigger had moved
off to college.
So we were starting to do some stuff to let the others know we had not forgotten about them. So we were on a trip over to the Metau to celebrate your birthday.
That's right. So we're sitting down, we're playing Racing Demons, and Shy Guy just, he loses. At that point, he was still not as fast as everybody else, and his arms were shorter, so he lost at Racing Demons a lot.
So he would. So yes, he lost a lot, but more importantly, he didn't win.
Right.
Right.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
He didn't necessarily come in last, but he wasn't winning. So we're playing this game, and one of the moves you can make is if you play a king on a build up in the lake from an ace up, you play a king. It's called a pounce, and you play your king, and you grab that pile, and you say pounce, and that's 10 points.
Yeah.
For you right away. And it's a big deal if you can get a pounce because you got to keep your eye on it. It's fast. If your king comes up or you know where it is, it's like it means you've arrived.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Shy Guy got a pounce and he was super pumped. And then he got another pounce and he stood up and he like hit his chest and he said to us, "Get wrecked, bozos."
and we were like, dying.
What? Like, he just shook with his pride for getting a second pounce. And I think he won that round, but not only won that round, like killed us. Because you get 10 points for going out. He had 10 points. He had 20 points for his two pounces. I mean, the kid was on fire. Yeah. I wish I had that on video.
Oh, God, it was funny.
So, the rest of us just stopped playing and looked at him. you win.
I do think I laughed till I cried though because
that
it was so unlike him.
Such a fun trip.
Oh God, yeah. So you know, I mean, that is the thing about playing any kind of game with your family. You just come away with stories like that that are wonderful. Or if you play games with groups of friends, remember that
with friends. Yeah, yeah. Can't play that now. We'd be too close. I have great memories of learning how to play gin rummy, like straight gin with 10 cards in your hand.
Yes.
Like my mom taught me.
Yes.
And I think she learned from her mom. So I would also play with my grandma.
Yeah.
But my grandma would knock. Right. So she would like, she was very good card game
player,
very good gin player.
Yeah.
And so she would know like what I had and that, you know,
Shy Guy's like that. He always knows where the cards are.
So, you know, knocking, right? Where you like hit the table and what you're saying basically is this is your last round because I'm gambling. That
it's like in 31.
Yeah. Even though I'm not done.
Yeah.
I know I've got better than you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Grandma, I don't know how to knock. I don't want to do that. And she'd be like, okay, sweetie.
I'm like, what? And she would just force the issue. And she'd like look at my hand and go, well, that's too bad. You have all those kings. And she would just like, oh, my God. Every single time. It made me so frustrated. I'm like, fine. I just because that concept I just didn't quite get yet. I mean, because I was like seven.
Yeah. Yeah. Of
you
course.
Know, and like playing and winning at that like was impressive. But then she would knock.
Oh, my gosh. When I was growing up, we would go over to visit my Aunt Joyce, and all of the adults would get together and they would play Pinochle. So they would have like three different tables.
Can you spell
tables.
That for me?
I can't. they would play Pinochle, and I remember standing and watching them play, and math may not be my favorite subject, but I'm pretty good at it. And the counting and the rules, and I never could get it. And now we were talking about these games, of course, and now I'm like, I'm going to learn how to play Pinochle.
Are you?
Yeah, we're all going to learn. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a pandemic point of pride.
Pandemic Pinochle?
Oh, pandemic Pinochle. Here we come.
That sounds good. Okay, I've got my stats for you.
Ooh, what are they?
All right, most popular card game in the world.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Solitaire.
No.
Okay, wait. Gin Rummy.
No. Okay, cards. We're playing cards. We're appealing to massive amounts of people. We're probably in Las Vegas.
Oh, 21.
No.
Okay. Blackjack.
That's the same thing. No.
It is.
Come on. There's TV show. There's like they've
poker.
Yes.
Oh God.
Okay.
We should play poker with
and
the kids.
Specifically Texas Hold'em.
Okay.
Okay. That's the most popular card game in the world is
okay.
Poker. What is considered the hardest card game in the world?
Pinochle.
Bridge.
Oh, bridge.
And then the easiest card game in the world.
Still fish.
Close. War.
Oh, they're both stupid games.
Where you just slap.
I can't even handle
it. You just slap the deck.
Stop slapping my hand.
Okay, but here's the top six popular games in no particular order.
Okay.
Gin Rummy.
Yeah.
Hearts.
Yeah.
Texas Hold'em Poker.
Okay.
Solitaire.
Yeah.
Cribbage.
I love cribbage.
And blackjack.
I wouldn't consider cribbage a card game, though.
Well,
that's interesting.
It's kind of a hybrid. You got some cards. You got a slab of wood with a whole bunch of fucking little holes. And then little sticks, which is another game that when you have your cribbage board and you flip it over and you like slide open the thing, if the pieces aren't there,
you're screwed.
The game is over.
No, toothpicks.
Yeah.
I played cribbage, just absolutely only cribbage, for years because my high school sweetheart, their family played cribbage, and then my brother was a longshoreman. My older brother was a longshoreman.
Oh,
and
I was gonna say, what?
That, they play cribbage.
Okay.
As they're waiting for the ships to come in. They just sit
as
and play.
As you do. I would sit and do something else.
I
cannot believe you haven't talked about backgammon more because that is our love language.
That is our love
That's
language.
That's our jam.
Yeah.
So we go to destinations, get settled, get a drink or whatever, and we play backgammon on the iPad.
Yep.
For hours.
Really, for hours. It is just so much fun.
Like, that's not an exaggeration.
We went through a time. Remember
15 games.
Remember when we used to play it, like, we'd go to bed early so we could put the iPad in between us and play backgammon until it was time to turn out the lights.
Yeah.
I mean, that was an addiction.
Or we would go hiking,
and
on our lunch break, we would stop, and we would, like, look at the view. Oh, so pretty. Eat our, like... prosciutto and double cream or triple cream or whatever the hell.
Yep.
And play backgammon on the iPad. Like that is, you know, some people like travel and they like stick an American flag in the sand or they hold it up and they're like, we're in the top of, you know, Machu Picchu or whatever. We're like, here's
backgammon.
The iPad with backgammon.
I beat Ellen on the top of Machu Picchu.
But, yeah. And it's like, we probably are locked in 50-50 because we'll be like, I'll win 15 games in a row, you'll win 15 games in a row, or you'll win for like a month, and then I can hold my own at this point in backgammon. Like,
I think that's such a cute story.
I knew you were gonna say that.
Such a cute story.
No, I think so, because there'll be these moments where like I will like three games in a row I'll school you and you'll just be like pissed, and I'm like, well, welcome.
There were probably, I don't know, 4 years.
Oh, there was times where I didn't win a game ever.
Yeah.
But now I've figured out, because I was new to it. You taught me.
Yeah.
I had not played.
There are some things I don't tell you because you are so close to being 50-50 that if I tell you some of the things I know from reading books, that you would beat me.
Mean.
That's right. Self-preservation, dear. Self-preservation.
We haven't played in a while.
No, we haven't. Let's play tonight.
Let's play tonight.
Okay. All right.
Let's
I'm
go
so excited.
Sit on the back deck.
Yeah.
We'll have to probably open a second bottle of wine.
Oh, my God. We should get out of here.
And let's play backgammon.
Let's get out of here. Okay, let's talk about party games real quick.
Real quick.
Okay. Fun party games. Pictionary.
Charades.
Jenga.
Cards Against Humanity.
Oh, Cards Against Humanity. Can we talk about this for a minute?
Yeah.
Just for a minute. I love this game so hard. This is,
have we talked about this on the podcast?
I don't think we have. So maybe we did once. I don't know. But when I had my foot surgery, we decided. But Ellen put her foot down and said, we can't go to Yellowstone.
I put my foot down because you couldn't.
We can't go to Yellowstone. We have to go somewhere else. And so I was on a little scooter. And not in a wheelchair, just but on a little scooter and crutches.
Knee scooter, yeah.
Knee scooter, yeah. And so we decided to go to the Metau, which is our happy place. Mm-hmm. And we went over in
took the two boys.
Sprinter van.
And we took all three.
We took all three.
Holy shit.
Yep. And we took Cards Against Humanity. And Shy Guy was only, I think he was barely 14, right?
This was 2 years ago. So yeah, he was solidly 14.
Yeah. So 14 years old. But, you know, Cards Against Humanity, if you've not played it,
it's rough.
We highly recommend it.
It's awesome.
It is so raunchy.
That's a good term.
Yeah, in just the most hilarious ways. Anyway, so we're playing with him, and the most outrageous, the worst cards I've ever seen come up.
Oh, it was horrifying.
It was. And he didn't even know what. Actually,
well, he knew.
He knew
way more than we thought because he hadn't gone to public school yet. And so we're like, oh. Shy Guy is our shy guy. And he's like, I know what a glory hole is. And we were like, fuck, don't ever say that again.
I can't believe you just said that.
Well, that was one of the cards that came up. And we were like, oh, my God, like, nobody move, right? And we all look at Shy Guy, and Tigger leans over and, like, whispers to him. And Shy Guy's like, I knew that. We're like, how?
Oh, my God. We laughed. We all laughed until we cried.
We laughed so hard. And then all of a sudden, like, we were at a snowbird RV place that happens to have some tent camping spots. And we were in a camping van. So we had a spot. The kids were intense. I think you just said that. Anyway, 10 o'clock is when you're supposed to be quiet.
It's the quiet time.
For the snowbirds to turn off their propane fire pits and go inside their plastic
and we are
RVs,
howling.
Which would, if caught on fire, burn in 5 seconds. And we were laughing so loud, but no one came and yelled at us.
No.
The place was under new ownership. If it had been that other lady, she
would have killed
ridden
us.
Ridden over. Like, zapped us with her broom. She was mean.
We literally had tears rolling down. All of us.
God.
Even Shy Guy, because it was just so funny. We were floored at what he knew.
Yeah, it was one of those moments where I'm like, do I need to, like, talk to his other mom? Like, I think I did. I think I said, we played Cards Against Humanity.
Yeah.
And she was like, that's what...
Well,
that's cool.
There's a reason it gets 9,500 5-star ratings on Amazon.
Whoa.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember when you couldn't buy it for a while because it was just
sold out.
The hook?
So if you have younger kids or you're better parents than we are, maybe Exploding Kittens card game is more your speed because I hear that's really good and it's kind of the same thing. And if you haven't played it, you know, players complete fill-in-the-blank statements using words or phrases that are typically deemed offensive or risque.
Exploding cats?
Well, both, but this is particularly about Cards Against Humanity. Politically incorrect is almost always guaranteed in this. It's kind of like apples to apples, which is also very fun.
Yeah, I was just going to ask.
Yeah, it's a lot like that. But one of the creators, Ben Hantut, I think he said his name is. He said he and Max Temkin, who created the game with him, were inspired by Magic the Gathering, Balderdash, and Charades. But of course, Mad Libs was the most direct influence for the game.
Oh my God, Mad Libs.
It was Kickstarter funded to get the game off the ground. So everybody draws 10 white cards, I think. And then, according to the rule book provided with the game, the person who most recently defecated begins as the cards are.
Oh, my God. You're talking about Cards Against Humanity?
Yes.
I didn't know there was like a method to the madness.
So they play a black card face up. The cards are then reads the questions or fill in the blank phrase on the black card out loud.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody else picks one of the cards or two of the cards or three of the cards out of their hand, however many blank spaces there are, and they pass it to the card czar. And then the card czar flips them over and reads the black card and fills in the blanks with the cards that you've provided and then decides which one he thinks or she thinks is the funniest,
right?
For example, I have some examples here.
Oh, shit.
I never truly understood blank until I encountered blank. And what I saw on the internet was, I never truly understood estrogen until I encountered battlefield amputations.
Yeah.
Which, hang on, I'm not
it
done.
It is so funny.
I wish I hadn't lost the instruction manual for blank. I wish I hadn't lost the instruction manual for being a dick to children. And the third and final one I have for you is an example. What you don't want to find in your Kung Pao chicken. What you don't want to find in your Kung Pao chicken, glory holes.
Oh, my God. Oh, shit.
So who knew that a 14-year-old who'd been to private school, Montessori trained, would know what a glory holes was?
Yeah, maybe he was faking it, but I don't know.
I don't know either.
Word spreads.
Yeah.
Are you someone who has played party games before? Like, so Cards Against Humanity with our kids aside.
Yeah.
And knowing that they've played it during their parties.
I live for party games. Charades is my jam.
Okay. I love Pictionary.
Pictionary, you do?
Like on a big, like when a group.
I would totally play that with you.
When a group is playing.
Let's play.
And you're playing like on a big.
Oh, my God.
Do you remember that great scene from When Harry Met Sally?
Yes.
Where they're playing Pictionary?
Yes.
And Sally's on a date and Harry's on a date.
Yeah, they hate their dates.
They hate their dates.
Yes.
Well, did you know that scene is completely improvised?
Really?
It is.
I'm not surprised.
And when Meg Ryan was drawing her thing, and the answer to what she was drawing was baby talk.
Yeah.
The Bruno Kirby's character, Jess, who yells out baby fish mouth, literally, that's what he thought she was drawing. And that, for fans of that movie, became baby fish mouth, became like a thing.
Oh, that's funny.
It turns out. Yeah, because I was trying to figure out, like, what's a famous
Gaming scene,
yeah. And that popped up immediately, and I had no idea. It's just Nora Ephron.
She's so smart.
So smart. She just let them play. That was completely Meg Ryan trying to draw baby talk.
Oh, well, when you have Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan in the same room, what are you going to do?
So I just love knowing that scene was improvised.
I do, too.
I love that kind of comedy.
Hey, look, you know what? The world is a bleak and dark place right now.
Aww.
I think that you should play a game with your kids, play a game with your spouse. We're going to go play backgammon right now.
Yeah, get some friends together in the front yard and get some big post-it pads.
That's a great idea.
Or scrap paper and play some Pictionary.
Oh, my God,
improvise,
let's do that.
Come up with your own baby fish mouth. I'll put a link up to that scene because it's hysterical.
Yeah. You know what? There are ways through this, guys.
There's ways through this. If you have a screen and a projector, and projectors are cheap on Amazon right now. So if you can bring Wii outside and have a couple of your kids' friends over to sit six feet apart.
Yep.
Because all the remotes these days, or the controllers, are remote. So you don't need cords. You can be far away. There's lots of stuff you can do. Maybe not board games with friends, but bring that inside and play
card
that
games
with your family.
Yeah.
But you do not have to play Settlers of Catan.
No, you should play Settlers.
No, you don't have to. That's
so much fun.
I hate those kind of games.
She doesn't know what she's talking about.
I tried.
No, it's fun.
I hate them.
I think you'll find your strategic inner self.
Goodbye.
See ya.